It's here and now. Those racist comments this weekend, said to be from L.A. Clippers owner Don Sterling, tag team on the racist comments of rancher Cliven Bundy from last week. Bundy said he wondered if blacks were better off picking cotton. And in an hour-long taped conversation, a man said to be Sterling lectured his mistress, V. Stiviano, who is of mixed race, on the horror of being seen with blacks, telling her that posting a picture of herself with Magic Johnson on Instagram was disrespectful. Here's a portion.
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
What, by walking, you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
So what conversations are blacks in America having after a week of ignorance in full flower? Those comments ricocheted around social media, even pinballing out to President Obama in Malaysia, who said in sum, let ignorant people expose their ignorance. Khalil Gibran Muhammad is director of the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture at the New York Public Library and author of The Condemnation of Blackness, Race, Crime, and the Making of Modern Urban America. He's with us from the studios of NPR in New York. Welcome.
Thanks, Robin, for having me on the show.
So we'd love your thoughts. We're hearing from a black colleague who says, you know, this happens all the time. She says, we're brought up to assume people hate us till we know different. I myself am white, but a young black family member had the same sort of shrugging reaction and then admitted it's been scary to hear these comments from Bundy and Sterling over and over in the news cycles. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that these are scary comments, and just listening to Sterling repeat himself in this clip you just played, my heart fluttered because when he said it does matter, it does reflect something about the deeply entrenched nature of the way in which we see people as different in this country, whether it is by race, which is the issue at hand here, or by class. And we decide collectively that that's okay consistently, not everyone, but in so many thousands of ways. As a parent of young children, I am deeply concerned about the implicit bias problem that researchers are bringing to our attention now, something that, of course, has been in existence a long time, but being able to point out to people the ways in which they make decisions about the worthiness of individuals and entire groups based on perception is deeply troubling in this time. And for our young people who didn't grow up with cross burnings, young people who didn't grow up hearing prominent politicians defend white supremacy, there is a lot of dissonance between what we're teaching in our classrooms and the reality on the ground.
Well, in other words, this is treated as ancient history. Is that what you're saying? And yet here in modern day, kids are hearing this. They're hearing this over and over yesterday. But what really does it reflect? You say we, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners are saying, not me. And John Concha writes online at Mediate.com, for instance, that this could be age. Both Cliven Bundy and Don Sterling in their 80s. And he points out, Concha points out, that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid made comments about how Barack Obama speaks, you know, and whether he has a black dialect, that Joe Biden talked about Indians taking over parts of Baltimore, that this is about old white America, not current America.
I think that's just too easy. Mm-hmm. And I think the best example to counter that view is to look at the explosion of testimony from young black college students from around the country, many of them at the most elite universities, Harvard, for example, Georgetown in Washington, D.C. These young people have been leading a social media campaign to talk about what it means to be black on college campuses today, to be subject to all kinds of racial taunts and insensitivities, from being asked what is it like to be black to being questioned as to their right to belong on those campuses. So we're talking about 17 to 23-year-olds who are the most privileged kids in our country articulating views that are in the ballpark of what Sterling and Bundy said.
Well, and your own daughter, you say, was watching a documentary and said what?
Well, she said, "I don't want to be black anymore. I want to be white." And I said to her, "Honey, why would you say that?" She said, "It's too hard to be black." She was watching Black Power Mixtapes, which is a documentary about 1960s and 70s activism. So my point for her was that I need her to be exposed to the history of this country so that we can talk about it, so that she doesn't hold that in and it challenge her self-esteem so that she feels less than, which is exactly what she was articulating.
Well, and how much of this is an internal black conversation? Peter Dreyer of Occidental College seems to be blaming black leadership. He writes about the NAACP. Most people have heard that they were planning on giving Don Sterling a Lifetime Achievement Award on May 15th. That's been canceled. But he points out they already gave him a similar award 5 years ago, and that was when Elgin Baylor, the former Clipper manager, filed a racial discrimination lawsuit against Sterling that same year. And Sterling had also been sued and fined for discrimination in the housing that he owns. Dreyer points out Walmart is also getting an award in May, and that, you know, maybe there needs to be a firmer stand from nonprofits who maybe are being bought by people like Don Sterling.
Well, I certainly think that there is something to be said about the outsized influence of rich people, the disconnect between what their money means to impoverished and underprivileged and disadvantaged communities, from minority communities to any number of nonprofit organizations that work with groups that need assistance. Mm. So there's definitely a disconnect between the influence of money and the ways in which our philanthropic communities honor people. If you look at the docket for those who are to be honored by the L.A. chapter of the NAACP, it includes Al Sharpton, Eric Garcetti, the current mayor of Los Angeles, and Don Sterling. Well, coming from the nonprofit community myself, I know that Sterling is there because of the money. That's how this works, not coming from Sharpton, not coming from Garcetti. So this structure, the way in which we have privatized so much of society and we continue to move in that direction, leaves a lot of people who are on the right side of American history, on the right side of social justice initiatives, at a huge disadvantage in terms of having to go to people like Don Sterling.
Well, very briefly, when Clippers coach Doc Rivers, was a broadcaster in San Antonio, his home was burned to the ground. Police said it was arson. They lost everything. His son, Jeremiah Rivers, has been tweeting so eloquently in response to the comments yesterday. He said, you know, people want to boycott the Clippers because of one man. My house burned to the ground. One man cannot make me feel hate. Very briefly, Khalil, what do you tell yourself as you listen to this?
Well, I tell myself that we absolutely have to talk about race and racism, not only in historical terms, but in contemporary terms. So when Justice Sotomayor talks about the importance of the history of disqualifying black people from the political process, she is telling us that our history informs the present that we live in. Just like we don't listen to Vladimir Putin's diagnosis of what's happening in Ukraine without a historical lens, we must do the same for race in America today.
Khalil Gibran Muhammad, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Robin.
You're listening to Here and Now.